This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, Carm Capriotto here. Join me each week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a virtual shop tour. Hey, take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, catch up on our weekly content, and as always, know that you'll learn just one thing. The video of the show is on the Aftermarket Weekly page on RemarkableResults.biz or on my YouTube channel. And one of the things I always love to say is you could be a fly on the wall right here and just listen and learn something really cool, something instructive and or revealing. And by the way, the reason you're here is you're going to learn all about this beautiful brand new build over at the Coyman's place, the Ultimate Auto. You're also going to hear all about turning customers into clients. Steve Finzel, who's going to come on and talk about this customer decline thing, which, Steve, thank you for bringing this to us. It's critical. It's an important. And I love the fact that you call your customers clients.
It's an interesting concept, but I thought that as we're trying to fill those schedules and spending all those marketing dollars, you've got those people right there. Why are they not doing tires and oil changes? Why aren't they doing everything with us?
Got it. So much. Thank you. Sarah and Chad Coyman are here from Ultimate Auto in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Chad, Sarah, how you doing?
Doing great.
We're going to go inside this new build. We're coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix studio. So glad to have Dorman as a partner on the show. So, Steven, how's business at your neck of the woods?
Business is crazy booming. Now, car counts are up. People are willing to wait to have cars done. Obviously, technicians, everybody could use one, two, three more. We're in the same boat right now. Things couldn't be any better besides maybe a little part shortage.
Well, thank you for saying that. Can I get up on my soapbox for just a minute? Steve said people are willing to wait. And I think we've done this on some shows just recently. We have to stop promising the car the same day. Same day service has become a commodity. We work so hard with scheduling and parts availability and all this stuff to make it happen. And COVID has allowed us, guys, tell me if I'm right or wrong, an opportunity to say, hey, you know, we need to do some really good research and testing, but we also may have a parts problem. So if you've got the time, you know, maybe I have a loaner, maybe there's an Uber to do or a shuttle to get you home. And think of the stress it relieves from your supplier at the parts store who can't find people to drive the parts to you. You know, the whole world of hotshot almost needs to go away and we need to almost take it down a notch or two. And I'm saying this to the industry because I believe it's an important evolution of post-COVID for us. Chad, Sarah, agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed the way we fix cars. I agree. People are booking their cars out longer. You know, typically we're booked out about a week and sometimes up to 2 weeks and people are waiting for it.
Well, good for you. Glad you're here. How is your business, by the way?
It's been busy. Yeah, we built a new building and took off running right off the get-go. So we've been very pleased with that. So.
Well, we can't wait to see it. I think, again, as I said, thanks to Dorman for partnering with.
Dorman Products has become an incredible engine for innovation. They are constantly bringing new replacement parts to the automotive industry, and they routinely release tens of thousands of parts across all different categories. Now, why did they do all of this? To enable technicians the freedom to fix their customers' cars and trucks. To do this, Dorman has dedicated teams focused on different aspects of the vehicle to ensure that they are meeting the needs of the aftermarket. Although a lot of their parts are reverse engineering of original equipment, they also redesign and redefine solutions such as their loaded knuckles or programmable electronic power steering rack. Dorman has invested in these OE Fix innovations to help you save time, your customer money, and prevent vehicles from coming back to your shop. In certain cases, Dorman will manufacture aftermarket replacements so you aren't forced to go back to the OE. Hey, want to know more about Dorman? Visit dormanproducts.com/tour.
And you know, each week, everyone, we have a trivia. This is really easy. What year did the first Soccer Mom minivan debut? And I think you all know who the father of the minivan is, even though he may not have actually invented it, but who the father of the minivan is. Hey, listen, if you go to our website and you type in Steve Finzel, you'll see some other episodes we've done with him. And Sarah and Chad Coyman are brand new. Glad to have two brand new voices on the show. And probably when we release this Saturday and you type in Sarah and Chad Coyman, this episode will come up because it releases next Friday. Hey, you know, I'm passionate about what's going on with national recognition of the service professional. And this is the second annual award nominations for the awards, the incredible honors that Apex is bestowing on the aftermarket of Shop Owner of the Year, Technician of the Year, and Service Advisor of the Year. AAPEXShow.com/service awards. Let me tell you a little secret. You go to the site, you decide who, you know, which category you want to nominate from, and you can nominate all of them if you want. Print out, literally print out the application. It's an online form, but print it out so that you know what you need to fill in, handwrite it, you know, do all the things you have to do. And then when you're prepared and you're ready, go back on the site, click on the online form and complete it. This is one hell of an honor, everyone. It's national recognition. I'm so far heavy behind this. I would love to see you out there. Maybe you want to nominate yourself, but I guarantee you any shop owner has some great techs, great service advisors, and many of our peer groups know someone in their group who's worthy of a nomination. Steve, let's get ready to bring on your discussion here. I'm so excited that you're with us. You've been on before. You're gonna talk about turning customers into clients. And Steve, give me an idea. Why do customers call your shop?
I think, first of all, customers are calling because they want to schedule an appointment. They could be calling because they know that you perform a service they need, or they could be calling because they're responding to your marketing. So, I mean, when you answer in the phone right away, you should know exactly why this person needs your services or how you're going to provide them. Obviously, the easiest one is to just schedule the appointment. And that's what clients really do. Customers make purchases based on what they want and when they want them. And I think that's where, if you think about it, sometimes you're their oil change guy. Sometimes you're their check engine light guy. Sometimes you're their diagnostic guy or their heavy engine guy. Why aren't you their tire alignment guy? Why aren't you their brake guy? Why are they going everywhere else? So
what you're saying is clients come to you for everything. And that's the strategy for every technician and every service advisor knowing that.
It's hard to get there because we all work a fast pace on the front counter. But at some point, there's that time to develop the relationship where you find out what this customer wants and what's their expectations for this car. Are they a salesman that's on the road all the time going in and out of different states? Are they the kid's car? Is it the mom's car that's running around town all the time? How long do they keep their car? Those type of things. And so I think once you sit down and have that conversation, whether it's a phone call after they've already checked in, whether it's why they're sitting in your waiting room, find out what they expect from their car. That kind of opens the door that you really just don't care about the sale right now, but you're caring about what their needs are. How are you going to protect their investment? How long you're going to get it to last for them? Those type of things. So that's kind of where I start with all of that. Once you've developed that relationship, I think the second step is, you know what the current mileage is. You talk to them about, you know, repair work that they've had done. Maybe they've been in and they've spot done work where you can kind of gauge how many miles a year they're putting on the car. And for instance, there's your opportunity that the car's only got 28,000 miles on it, but at 50,000, they're going to need tires. So you can do a little math, figure out how many months I need to set up a reminder. You know, obviously you've got to have a great management system where you can track those reminders, but when are those service interval dates, those 30, 60, 90,000 miles? When is that 100,000-mile service going to come up? And then based on what they told you, are they even going to have the car then? Those are some of the things that I think is taking a customer and turning them into a client. So you're beating them to the punch with your CRM. And they also understand that even though they're in for brakes, you're talking to them about tires. Even though they're in for a check engine light, you're talking about saving them, you know, having them save money for 6 months down the road or a year down the road.
So somebody comes in, maybe it's a cold call or not, and you would put a tag on them called customer. Now you want to turn them into a client. The word trust to me is something I know you're going to cover, because to me, I don't think you become a client if there's no trust there. But how hard do you guys work on that first impression, Steve?
The first impression is critical. And I think anybody that's worked with a coaching team or management team, the first thing they're doing is working on image. You know, we happen to be a Napa Auto Care Center, so they even have a pro image component of their program. We definitely are all going to market against the dealership. So you kind of got to look the part. You've got to present yourself like that. You've got to have some type of uniform or some type of professional appearance. Those kind of things, even though they seem minute, you know, that is your first impression. And that is probably the first step of building that trust.
Chad, Sarah, is trust something that you instill greatly on your team?
Yes, I would agree with all that. We try our best to earn everybody's trust and treat them, you know, on a personal level, that when they come in, they feel welcomed and they can trust us.
You know, one of the things that when you're having the conversations about items that aren't done now, obviously there's no pressure there. And I think even like in any type of relationship, when you start asking people about themselves and they start sharing, that right there, I think is going to build some trust. You know, when you walk into the shop, the guy's telling you what you have to do to the car. The guy really doesn't care about your concern that you've got to pick kids up at 3 o'clock. All of a sudden, you don't feel important. You don't feel like you're part of the decision-making and those type of things. So again, that's what builds that trust, by having those conversations about what are your needs? What are your expectations? Here's where I can fit in. We can, if you're looking to lease this car for 2 years, let's do oil change, rotate your tires, get you out of here. You know, that builds trust for maybe the wife's car, you know, or maybe the kid's car.
Steve, let me ask you a question. Do your service advisors, when they're having a dialogue with a customer, do they say you're a very valued client? Does the word customer, is it gone from your vocabulary, and is it always client? So when they hear that word client, it gives them a completely different expectation?
I have never really put that guideline down, and I probably should, hearing you say that, but I think that My people are using the customer's name. I don't think we talk in reference to customer, but I think that would be very impressionable if they would refer to them as, you know, as my client, I really would like to do this. We talk about that in our presentation. I mean, this is one of my pieces that I use with my front counter sales guys when we go back and reiterate, what's the vision? What's the purpose? What are we doing here? You know, we go to this script.
And we never say the word customer going forward from this moment. It's always client, client, client. So do clients get tours of your place?
Not necessarily. We try to keep the technicians separated so they can do what they do. But within our waiting room and our front counter area, we do walk-arounds with the customers out on the lot, but really not through the facility at all. It's kind of a busy place here, and that would just kind of be in the way type of thing.
Yeah. Thank you for everyone who's hanging out with us on social. Appreciate all the great comments we're getting. By the way, you have a brand new place, Chad and Sarah. I bet you you're itching to show customers, giving them a tour.
There's been a handful of them that we'll take just out into the shop, but we don't. Yeah, like Steve said, we don't tour everybody through there, but we'll let them peek in the windows and look out in the shop. And
I can't wait to see the tour, because you probably have a window that people can look into the shop.
Yep, in the one hallway we do. So
cool, great. Well, look at this, was interesting. We can go on for a total, you know, hour long episode on the whole thing with customers and clients. We've done shows with coaches on that with shop owners, Steve. So thank you for bringing this. Was there anything else that we didn't catch that you wanted to bring to us?
I think the biggest takeaway that if I would like anybody to know is just thinking about all the opportunities with a car that's in front of your shop based on the date, the mileage, and the customer's needs. And it goes from tires, batteries, service work, tune-up work, all of that kind of stuff, that if you can get that somehow, figure out how your management system works, that you can get that retention into your system, I think it's a lot easier to deal with somebody that already has the trust to come to you. They know how to get to your shop. They like doing business with you. I think it really works well.
Thank you for this great advice on turning customers into clients. Bill Connor, good to have you here. He says building trust is a great tool for building value and moving price down the list of things that clients focus on. Very, very smart. Thank you so much. Appreciate this. Hey, I think it's time for our shop tour. Sarah and Chad Coyman from Ultimate Auto in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I can't wait to see this new build. Take it away, guys.
All right. So there's the front of the building there. We're in the southeast side of Sioux Falls, 77th and Cliff area. Front lawn there with the retention pond and parking for customers. Up the driveway.
Are you kind of in an industrial area?
It's apartments, and we have a football stadium right to the north of us and school to the northeast of us there.
Is that your building way in the back?
That is an additional building that we did for storage for different shop vehicles and tow truck and things like that.
Nice.
And we'll go through the front door here. Got our customer drop-off box on the left of the door there. And here's our service advisor area. Right now we have one advisor. We're hopeful to get a second one up there. And then just a small customer waiting area there with counter in the back and stuff for coffee, water.
How many waiters? A lot?
Not a ton. I mean, we'll probably get a half a dozen throughout the day, you know, but just kind of depends on the day. Some days we just get one or two.
Did you design this? Did your team design this? Architect design it?
Myself and Sarah kind of went through things and kind of designed it ourselves and sat down with the architect. That's just a real small office that we thought maybe someday will be maybe like a parts manager or something, or if the service advisors need to get into a little office.
That could be your customer service support right there.
Right. That's our office admin office right there. She helps assist with the service advising when it gets busy. And then this is the employee break room with the...
I like the access to the shop from, you could get at it from both sides. Are we going to see that graphic on the wall? I hope we can see that.
I think we will. I think I turn around here again in just a minute, Carmen. So ice machine, microwave, and then, yeah, there's our...
Nice. Are these your values?
Yeah, Sarah found that. She can speak on that, but yeah.
Just simple things, but just reminders to our team what they play even behind the scenes, even though they might not be the one to answer the phone right away or greeting that customer face-to-face. Just that reminder that our team cannot be who they are without each other and what they all do on their own. So
I love that. Excellent.
And we were just ecstatic to have a break room itself. Our old building that we moved into 21 years ago was a new build, but the simple things that we could do now because we could do it to meet our needs. So we didn't have a break room before to give our team. So that was exciting.
So this is our main area where we do our oil changes. It is drive on. We can drive into the shop or back out the door, either one. Did that. So if we do get another longer vehicle, we can get it onto one of the two posts that you'll see in a little bit later.
Is the shop air conditioned?
It is all air conditioned. Yep. So a couple tire machines, one balancer. We'll take you into our parts room, supply room.
That's interesting to have it right there in the center of the shop with access both sides.
Yeah. Just thought it would be convenient. Mainly oil filters and some small stuff, fluids. But then our air compressor's in this room. We've got a refrigerated dryer on the air system. And then just some equipment and wiper blades, things like that are there.
Sure.
This side of the shop, we have, there's a spot right there that's basically a flat stall. And that's the main drive that the guys come in for the service area. And then our coolant tanks and all our new oils on that north wall of our shop. We've got waste oil heaters, and then we've got six hoists on the west wall. Our alignment rack is in the corner. There's actually two furnaces in the shop, and then there is three backup furnaces with AC on them, so we can heat it with natural gas if we ever needed to.
And we're looking at the exit door right there.
That is the south door on the front of the building there. That's the exit. So
correct.
Lots of lights. I like the windows on the sides. That does bring in the natural light, and you must have LEDs everywhere, right?
It is all LED lights. We've got a big ass fan up there to help keep some air moving.
a BAF.
Yeah. And then we've got the overhead exhaust system. I'll show you the other waste oil furnaces in that corner, and then
I see.
You can see one of the AC and natural gas furnaces above mm-hmm. that.
So when you got ready to design this, did you get input from the team?
Yeah, I did a lot, probably more from my advisors than some of the techs, but we did talk about it, kind of showed them some plans and asked them what they thought, got some suggestions. I was a tech for a while, and so I kind of knew how things worked in the shop.
Yeah. What kind of difference, Chad, has this new building made in your business?
We changed about 6 miles from our old location, so some of our clientele has changed as well. We're getting a little bit newer vehicle than we probably did in our old location. So that's been the biggest thing. Also, the higher ceilings, the bigger area. For instance, we had an enclosed trailer in there a couple weeks ago that we repacked wheel bearings. It's pretty nice when you can back one in there, work on the wheel bearings, and be in air conditioned. So before that was an outside job.
The team, the work environment, your team just had to be ecstatic to come into work in a building like that.
Yeah, you know, everybody doesn't think they probably need air conditioning in a new facility, but after they've been in there working this summer in the air conditioning, the bright lights, the taller ceilings, they're all pretty happy that they get to work in there. That's our parts receiving area, and returns where those come in. And then we're going to go upstairs here.
That's a long stairway.
That is a long stairway. Yep. Up the stairs here, we got a conference training room, and then a couple offices and a bathroom. There's a shot of the shop from upstairs there. The building's 80 by 100, 8,000 square foot, plus the two levels of the office. In this conference room here, we've got a pretty wide open room.
Okay, we keep seeing this over and over again, Chad and Sarah, that owners in a new build or in a remodel are adding this kind of space. And I salute you. And have you had these must be your offices, I imagine.
This is my office that I'm sitting in right now today. And then the next one over here is Sarah. So she's right next to me upstairs here.
Excellent. Have you used the conference room / training room for training yet?
We've not used it a ton yet, but we did use it quite a bit throughout finishing the project. I'll go into this room a minute, Carm, and then we'll go back. So here's our upstairs bathroom. We put a shower in the bathroom.
Nice.
So we've got a couple techs that travel a little ways to come. If they ever want to take a shower after work and go do something that night, they have that capabilities. And then here's our conference table.
I love this. Oh, stop that just for a moment, Tracy. Look at the logo that's burned. It looks like it's burned in there, right?
It is.
Wow.
That is hand-built by Chad.
So you're a woodworker, Chad.
Well, I tried. It turned out pretty good. So
beautiful. What's it made out of? What kind of wood?
It's just all 2x8 pines. Okay. That we glued and screwed together and then stained and burned that logo in there. And so I was telling you, the conference room, we used more when we were moving into the facility. We had everybody up there. Our whole staff was up there for dinner, things like that. It's what we've used that for. We plan some staff meetings that will be up there. We do noon lunches with our guys, and we're going to start using that room for that to be able to sit around a table and visit. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Wow. What do you think? Steve wants to build a new building soon. And did you get any ideas?
I did get some ideas. We also have the upstairs conference center for training. We do a lot of training and a lot of apprentice program type work. So I think that's key space to have, especially what we all went through the last year.
Well, this was a great tour, guys. Thank you so much for bringing it to us. We wish you all kinds of great success with a brand new building. People want to go inside and see what it's like. Hey, here's our trivia for today. What year did the first Soccer Mom minivan debut? It was 1984, everyone, when the Dodge Caravan and the Plymouth Voyager made their debut. And in the day since his death at 94, Chrysler's Lee Iacocca has been rightly lauded as the father of the Mustang and from his days at Ford and the brand savings K-car from his time at Chrysler. However, Iacocca did not invent the minivan any more than Ray Kroc invented McDonald's. Or rather, both men had the vision to see the massive potential of their respective products and the will and smarts to bring them to market. So Lee Iacocca is all over that minivan. I'll bet you guys have worked on enough of those, right? Hey, next week, Rena Rennebaum is going to be with us, the CEO of Empowered Advisor. No, Rena is going to talk a lot about the service advisors. And Carl Hutchinson's from Complete Automotive in Springfield, Missouri. Now, he's in the middle of construction on a place that he bought, and he's kind of, if you will, refabbing it before they move in. And Carl's going to give us a tour of the work in progress. Hey, this was fun. Thanks to Steve Finzel from Finzel's Master Tech, Terre Haute, Indiana, as we talked about turning customers into clients, and a beautiful, beautiful shop tour from Sarah and Chad Koyman from Ultimate Automotive, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Good to see you. Thanks for being here, everyone.
Thank you very much, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.